Missing Japanese Citizens. One night in June 1978, a 22-year-old single mother of two kids named Yaiko Taguchi was working her usual shift in Tokyo, Japan's Cabaret Hollywood. After finishing her shift right at around midnight, Yaiko left the cabaret through the front door and was never seen again. At first, nobody thought that anything serious had happened to Yaiko. In fact, several years later, her manager was questioned, and he claims that everyone thought she had quit when she failed to show up. At around that time, there had been rumors going around that several North Korean spies were working undercover in Japan looking to abduct innocent citizens and hold them as hostages back in North Korea. However, this was seen by the Japanese government as nothing more than a conspiracy theory that couldn't possibly be true. Sadly, the missing case of Yaiko went cold, and it wasn't until almost a decade later that a clue to her whereabouts emerged following a disturbing chain of events. In November 1987, as South Korea was preparing to host the Olympics in the capital city of Seoul, a Korean Airlines plane blew up in mid-air as it was flying over the Andaman Sea, taking the lives of 115 innocent people. During the investigation, it was revealed that two North Korean agents acting under direct orders from the North Korean government had planted a bomb in an overhead storage compartment before getting off at the first layover in Abu Dhabi. As the authorities were closing in on the two suspects, one of them took his life with a cyanide-laced cigarette, but the South Korean government was able to arrest the other agent responsible for the attack. During her interrogation, it was revealed that she had been training for that mission for 6 years. And that for three of them, she had been paired with Yaiko Taguchi, who had taught her how to speak and act like a Japanese woman so she could fly under the radar. As it was later revealed, Yaiko wasn't the only woman who had been kidnapped by the North Korean government. As of today, 17 Japanese citizens have been officially confirmed by the Japanese government as having been abducted by North Korea from 1977 to 1983. Disturbingly, a lot of them were shamelessly kidnapped in the middle of the day and thrown on a boat to North Korea. You might think that the victims were involved in something shady that put them on the North Korean government's radar, but the investigations actually suggest that most of them were average citizens who just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. One woman was captured while she was walking to a knitting class, and two others were kidnapped on a vacation to Europe. Another one, a 13-year-old girl, was taken as she was walking back home from school. Some of these victims were kidnapped for identity theft purposes, while others, like Yaiko, were forcefully brought to North Korea to teach the Japanese language and culture to North Korean spies. After the kidnappings were confirmed beyond the shadow of a doubt, the North Korean government had no choice but to come forward and apologize, but they claimed that only 5 of the 17 kidnapping victims were still alive. Over the next few years, the North Korean government would send what they would claim to be the cremated remains of some of the deceased victims back to Japan. However, as DNA testing would quickly reveal, pretty much all of the remains were fake, leading the Japanese government to believe that many more of the kidnapping victims were still alive. To this day, the North Korean government has stuck to its story, claiming that there were only 13 kidnapping victims and that the ones who were still alive were sent back safely to Japan. Shockingly, while the Japanese government has officially confirmed 17 kidnappings, the list of potential victims suggests that the true number could be as high as 800. Sadly, given the current political situation, it's unlikely we'll ever see the full extent of these abductions, or see the North Korean government held truly accountable for its horrific crimes. Just the other day, I found myself wasting hours of time I could have spent working on videos trying to find and cancel active subscriptions. That's why I've partnered with Rocket Money, the sponsor of this video. Rocket Money is the personal finance app that helps you cancel subscriptions, lower bills, and manage your money better. The favorite feature of mine being canceling subscriptions. It feels like everything has a subscription service these days, making it extremely difficult to keep track of all of them. For example, I used to have a subscription to a clothing brand that charged me monthly to get small discounts. But the monthly fee was way more than the discounts I ended up getting. I quickly found out that canceling my subscription was 1. Hard to find where to do, and 2. Difficult to do because the agent helping me was constantly trying to offer me more deals to avoid canceling my subscription. With Rocket Money, all of this is done for you. So, to take control of your finances today, go to rocketmoney.com/chillingscares to get started for free. Heart attack gun. Back in the 70s, a journalist named Seymour Hersh published an article in the New York Times in which he accused the CIA of several assassination attempts on both foreign and American politicians who they considered to be anti-war dissidents. Due to these allegations, the U.S. Senate put the CIA under investigation for alleged covert action abuses, which resulted in the release of 14 reports on major abuses committed by the CIA, FBI, and NSA. The majority of the reports included accusations of crimes such as opening and resealing U.S. citizens' private mail for several years and illegally surveilling Black Power activists. Although these claims are obviously pretty serious, they paled in comparison to one particular accusation or conspiracy theory which alleged that the CIA had developed a pistol that could fire a poison dart over 300 feet, take a person's life, and leave absolutely no trace as to the cause of death. As it was later revealed, this theory turned out to be true, and the development of the poison dart gun was just one part of the program called MK Naomi, through which the CIA had sought to develop weapons for biological warfare. In 1975, William Colby, the CIA director at the time, had to testify in front of the committee that was investigating the agency. During questioning, he claimed that the CIA had developed a host of biological weapons as part of a plan to eliminate German leaders during World War II, but that their research had continued until well after the war. He also mentioned that the poison dart gun was almost completely silent on account of the battery that was housed inside the handle, and that it had been specifically designed for the target to feel nothing more than a mosquito bite when the dart struck. Interestingly, the agency had used a specific shellfish toxin to make it impossible for anyone to know what the cause of death was, leading forensic pathologists to believe that the victim had suffered an inexplicable heart attack. It wouldn't help pathologists that the dart was designed to melt inside the body so that it only left a small red mark where it entered the victim. When asked if the heart attack gun, as it was nicknamed, was ever used on anyone, the director alleged that it had only been used for experiments and that there were no records of actual use. As part of the investigation, the CIA had to hand over the gun to the committee, and there are some pretty wild pictures of the committee members analyzing the gun as William Colby answers their questions about it. Normally, you'd expect to see something like the heart attack gun in a spy movie, and it's pretty wild to think that if they hadn't put it under investigation, they would have probably gotten away with using it for who knows what purposes. It's also pretty crazy to think that if that's the kind of stuff they were developing back in the 70s, imagine the kind of technology they have their hands on now. Disturbingly, the hearing was the only time the heart attack gun was ever shown publicly, and to this day, it remains unclear what happened to it after the investigation. Rogue waves. Sailors often get a reputation for making up stuff they claim to have seen during their time out at sea, and because there's no one there to refute their claims, they sometimes get away with some pretty tall tales. For centuries, sailors all around the world had talked about seeing monster waves on the open sea that would allegedly reach over 100 feet in height. In 1826, a French captain claimed that he had seen a 108-foot-tall wave in the Indian Ocean. Even though he had three sailors with him who backed up his claims, when he came back to the mainland, he was publicly ridiculed by the scientific community, as it was widely believed that it was impossible for a wave to be higher than 30 feet tall. For a long while after that, dozens of people continued to claim sightings of these monstrous waves in the middle of the ocean, but with no real evidence other than eyewitness testimonies, the existence of these waves fell into the urban legend or conspiracy theory category. In the 80s and early 90s, the Draupner platform was set up in the North Sea off the coast of Norway to extract natural gas. As part of the protocol that was carried out to see if the platform was stable enough to withstand the rough seas, a wave height recorder was installed on the platform. On New Year's Day in 1995, the sensor recorded an 84-foot-tall wave, which served as the first real piece of evidence for the existence of rogue waves. After this incident, a lot of people started wondering how many of the sailors from previous centuries had been telling the truth. What's more disturbing than that is that there were probably hundreds of disappeared sailors from all around the world who had come across a rogue wave, also known as a monster wave or a freak wave. But because most people who encountered 100-foot-tall rogue waves generally didn't live to tell the tale, their testimony went down into the depths of the ocean with them. Since the Draupner wave of 1995, there's been a growing interest in rogue waves brewing in the scientific community. A few years ago, a professor at the Australian National University had estimated that at any given moment, there are 10 rogue waves active in the world's oceans. As of today, a rogue wave is usually defined as a wave that is twice as large as the largest waves that come up in a particular area. And while the root cause of rogue waves continues to be investigated, it's generally accepted that these monster waves appear when two wave crests join together at the exact right time, resulting in a massive wave that can sink even the largest ships and oil rigs. Interestingly, it's also been discovered that rogue waves can take place in large lakes. In 1975, a freighter named the SS Edmund Fitzgerald sank in Lake Superior under some pretty mysterious circumstances, with a lot of people in the scientific community coming up with all kinds of hypotheses to explain the incident. It wasn't until several years later that the scientists started theorizing that the vessel could have fallen prey to a set of three consecutive killer rogue waves. a phenomenon referred to as the Three Sisters, in which the first wave destabilizes the ship, the second wave hits the ship's deck before it can stabilize again, and the third wave overloads the ship with more water than it can take on. If this were true, it could also provide an explanation for the mysterious sinking of other large ships in oceans around the world over the past few centuries, but this might be a bit more difficult to prove. Poisonous alcohol. In January 1920, the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was successfully ratified, triggering a 13-year period known as Prohibition, during which the production, sale, and transportation of alcohol was made illegal. During this period, the government enforced some pretty strict measures to prevent bootlegging of alcohol, which made the alcohol black market flourish like crazy. It was pretty much a playground for the mafia, in which the government would raid one bar and another one would crop up in just a few days' time. While all of this was happening, there were some pretty messed up rumors floating around that the US government was taking extreme measures to make sure people weren't consuming alcohol. These included allegations that the government was intentionally poisoning alcohol to make people who consumed it sick. For a while, this remained something of a conspiracy theory, but things took a turn pretty quickly on New Year's Day 1927 when 41 people died from alcohol poisoning at New York's Bellevue Hospital. Disturbingly, the autopsies revealed that a lot of the victims had been drinking industrial methanol, otherwise known as wood alcohol, which can be fatal even at low doses. It turns out that the government had forced companies to denature industrial alcohol to make it undrinkable since 1906, which was far before Prohibition. But when the crackdown on alcohol started, the government ordered these companies to add quinine, methyl alcohol, and other toxic chemicals to discourage people from drinking it. Their reasoning was that if black market dealers knew their alcohol had been poisoned, they wouldn't dare distribute it knowing how dangerous it would be for their customers to consume. I guess they forgot to factor in that the demand for alcohol at the time was absolutely insane, and that black market dealers didn't care who lived or died from consuming their product. It wasn't until December 1933, 6 years after the Bellevue incident, that the federal government finally toned down their abstinence from alcohol policies. But by then, thousands of Americans had already been poisoned with contaminated alcohol. Gorillas. Nowadays, there's really nothing too shocking about seeing a gorilla in a zoo or on TV, but there was once a time when gorillas were considered to be in the same category as the chupacabra, the Jersey Devil, Bigfoot, and the Loch Ness Monster. I was able to find that up until a couple of centuries ago, gorillas were considered cryptids, which are animals that are believed by some to exist somewhere in the wild, but whose existence has never been proven. With most of these creatures, alleged sightings often turn out to be hoaxes, but obviously in the case of gorillas, what were once just rumors turned out to be true. Western explorers wouldn't come across a gorilla until around the 1500s, when an English explorer named Andrew Battel was captured by the Portuguese off the coast of West Africa. While he was held captive on the mainland, Battel described these disturbing, giant, ape-like creatures that would occasionally prowl around his campfire, but because he had never seen a similar creature before, he described them more as monsters than as animals. Battel's description sent the rest of the world into what we can only call a gorilla frenzy, with all kinds of rumors being spread about these allegedly bloodthirsty, dangerous creatures living in exotic parts of the world. Over the next couple hundred years, the buzz around gorillas grew as explorers in Africa sent back illustrations of gorillas to Europe, which were often given to royalty and emperors as rare gifts. If you were to ask any European back then what a gorilla was, they would have described it in a similar way to how we describe Bigfoot or the Chupacabra nowadays. They were thought of more as mythical monsters than regular animals. It wasn't until over 200 years or so later that an American naturalist named Thomas S. Savage found a gorilla skull in 1847 during an expedition to Africa, which was the first piece of real proof for the existence of these animals. Naturally, this triggered a bunch of new expeditions to the area, and between 1855 and 1859, French explorer Paul Ducheyu confirmed the existence of gorillas and even brought some back dead. Just as Andrew Battel before him, Paul Ducheyu also described gorillas as these savage, bloodthirsty creatures, which stuck in the public mind for a long time. Around 15 years later, some German explorers brought back a baby gorilla from Africa to Liverpool, even putting up some towels on the ship so he could swing around and entertain himself on the long journey back. As you can probably imagine, as soon as the ship arrived back in Liverpool, people started flocking around the hotel where the gorilla was allegedly being kept to catch a glimpse of the once mythical creature. To the public's dismay, Pongo the gorilla wasn't the massive, violent monster they had thought, but rather a cute little 2-year-old gorilla who loved to play with dogs. A few years later, in 1902, a German explorer named Robert von Behringe killed two mountain gorillas, which were huge in comparison to the baby gorilla that the previous German explorers had brought back. And that was really the first time the public was able to understand what a full-sized adult gorilla looked like. It's pretty crazy to think that at some point these animals that we now see as normal were once seen as legendary monsters. Interestingly, if you really look at the research, there are a ton of other animals that we now take for granted that were once brushed off as hoaxes, including kangaroos, platypuses, giant squids, and Komodo dragons. With so many of these myths turning out to be true, it really makes you wonder how many animals are out there that we have no idea even exist.